WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Is up, beautiful people. You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy hump day. That's right, it is March 8th, 2017. I trust you all are having a fantastic week. Hey, you're just 2 days away from the weekend. You can do this, all right? I really hope you all, though, are trying to stay out of the wind outside. It's pretty windy outside. It's still a beautiful day, though. Sun is out, birds are chirping, and we plan on making your Wednesday afternoon a bit better as we have a fun-filled hour of sports talk in store for all of our listeners out there. On today's Current Sports, we will, of course, give you a brief preview on the Big Ten Men's Basketball Tournament, which gets underway today. That's right, today is the day you've all been waiting for, postseason college basketball in the Big Ten Conference. Two games slated to take place later on this afternoon, Nebraska, Penn State, Ohio State, and Rutgers. We'll preview the tourney, of course, in direct relation to when it comes to the Michigan State men's basketball team as well as the Michigan Wolverines. Also, of course, the NFL Combine wrapped up out in Indianapolis this past weekend. There were three Spartans who partook in those festivities. And one Spartan in particular, there's a lot of conversation surrounded around him, seeing as though NFL teams were not impressed with his interviews. I'll let you guess who that name is. So we'll dive into that. We will also have not one but two guests on today's Current Sports. We will welcome for the first time on our show, Aaron McMahon, who is a Detroit Pistons beat writer for MLive.com. Of course, the Pistons have a pretty important matchup tonight on national television. Yeah, we'll chat with McMahon on the Detroit Pistons, which actually sit right now in the seventh seed in the Eastern Conference. And then later on in the show, we will invite David Greenberg to our airwaves, current sports intern and also Michigan State University baseball bullpen catcher, who is spending his spring break out in South Carolina with the team as Jake Boss and his troops will take on Clemson tonight at 7 p.m. So David will give us a bit of a preview on that matchup. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to social media and weigh in at facebook.com/currentsports or simply tweet us at WKAR_sports and at my Twitter handle of at Al Martin WKAR. So as you see, a loaded jam-packed show. Let's stop wasting time. Let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks, as I mentioned, today marks the official start of the postseason for the Big Ten Men's Basketball Conference as the Big Ten Tournament gets underway at the Verizon Center in Washington, D.C. this afternoon. Game one features 12-seed Nebraska taking on 13-seed Penn State at 4:30 p.m. 5-seed, that's right, your Michigan State Spartans will play the winner of that matchup tomorrow, 25 minutes after 8-seed Michigan takes on 9-seed Illinois at noon. Later on today at 7 p.m., you can also watch 11-seed Ohio State take on Big Ten bottom feeder 14-seed Rutgers. Also want to note, this news came across about an hour ago, Kansas has suspended freshman Josh Jackson at the Big 12 tournament opener for failing to properly report to the team after hitting a parked car and leaving the scene on February 2nd. All right, the Michigan State women's basketball team honored the 2016-17 season at its annual banquet last night at the Breslin. Eight different MSU players were recognized, while, of course, senior guard Tori Jankowska was named as the player of the year. Other winners included Big Ten Sportsmanship Award winner Lexi Gussert, Most Improved Player Award went to Victoria Gaines, Coco Gaines. The Spartan Hustle Award went to Brandy Agee. The Sixth Player Award, Jenna Allen. Best Rebounder Award, Tori Jankowska, yet again. Playmaker Award, Taryn McCutcheon, East Lansing Zone. Defensive Player of the Year Award, Taryn McCutcheon. Pat Canning Coaches Award went to Notre Dame transfer Taya Reimer. The Kim Archer Character Award to Madrika Cook. And the Most Valuable Supporter Award to Shelly Applebaum. Congratulations to those members of the Michigan State women's basketball team, all honored at last night's awards banquet at the Breslin Center. Michigan State men's golf captured its third tournament title of the 2016-17 season by winning the fifth annual MSU-hosted Colleton River Collegiate at the Colleton River Club in South Carolina. Now, the Spartans started the day in second place behind UAB, but rallied to capture the team title with a 20 over 884. MSU's third round, 292, was the lowest round of the day. The Spartans ended the day with three players in the top four. This win was particularly special as Spartan alum and tournament supporter Al Theus, of course, passed away last month. The team was able to pass along the trophy to his widow, Willa. What a moment, and great pictures on the MSU Athletic website from that tourney as well. All right, girls, regional high school basketball action last night eliminated five of the 10 local teams from the running of a possible state championship. Here were your scores. Pawama Westphalia, 34. Covenant Christian, 31. Freeland, 62. Corunna, 36. East Lansing, 60. Battle Creek Lakeview, 45. Portland, 43. Eden Rapids, 38. Pittsford, 62, Morris, 26, Williamson, 57, South Christian, 36, Kalamazoo Central, 56, Mason, 45, Ithaca, 50, Saginaw Swan Valley, 46, and Saginaw Michigan Lutheran Seminary, 44, topping Portland St. Patrick, 39. So congratulations to PW, East Lansing, Portland, Williamson, and Ithaca for staying alive for a possible state championship trip. Make it three straight losses for the Detroit Red Wings after the Winged Will fell to the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's right, last night, 3-2. Alexei Marchenko scored against his former team to help the Leafs end a season-high five-game losing streak. The Detroit Red Wings will be at the Boston Bruins tonight. The Detroit Pistons, which are currently on a two-game win streak and sitting in the Eastern Conference's seventh seed, look to continue the upward trend on the road against the sixth seed Indiana Pacers tonight. Indiana has won all three matchups against the Pistons this year and will try to complete the season sweep today. A season series sweep by Indiana has only happened two other times in the history of these two franchises. The Pistons, sitting at 32-31 on the year, are just a game behind the Pacers in the standings. And you can watch this nationally televised contest tonight at 8 p.m. on ESPN. According to the NFL Network, the Detroit Lions were one of four teams to meet privately with Oklahoma running back Joe Mixon on the eve of his pro day workout. Now, Mixon is considered one of the most talented running backs in this year's draft, but a handful of off-field incidents, including one where he was caught on tape punching an Oklahoma female student in the face, that has impacted his draft stock to the point where he could slip to the fourth round or beyond. Now, Lions GM Bob Quinn did not bite his tongue when expressing how he was displeased with the league for not allowing Mixon and other players with arrest backgrounds to be present at the Combine out in Indianapolis. We will have more on that story later on in the show. And last but certainly not least, I thought this story was pretty cool. Nike will soon begin selling a performance hijab for Muslim women athletes. The head cover, called the Nike Pro Hijab, boasts a single layer pull-on design made from lightweight polyester and dark neutral colors. Now, the fabric's tiny holes will make it breathable while remaining opaque, a requirement for hijab-wearing women. Nike said it began developing after some Muslim athletes complained about wearing a traditional headscarf during competition. Very cool stuff. Hats off to Nike for being the trendsetter. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to be a part of the show, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, go to Facebook.com/CurrentSports, where we are currently live streaming the show. And you can also go to at Al Martin, WKAR on Twitter, and at WKAR_sports if you feel like tweeting us, and I will read those tweets live here on the air. So much to get to, so little time. Let's stop wasting it. Let's start the show. Is how we start this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin. Wow, it is so windy outside. My goodness. Brad Walker, our engineer of today's WKAR's Current Sports. Of course, Isaac Constance, our regular engineer, still on vacay, seeing as though it is spring break for the students here at Michigan State University. So we've got B-Dub in the house. Subbing in, and Brad, I really hope that you got your toupee on tight out there walking around campus, dude.
Because you're not supposed to tell everybody that I have my toupee on.
Hey, I'm just saying, man.
Come on.
Hey, I'm just saying. I'm sorry. I may have let that out the bag, but still, it is so windy outside.
It is very windy outside. Branches everywhere. Power's out everywhere.
Well, I tell you what, it's good to see your face, though, man. Thanks again for pinch hitting, and we've got a loaded show today. I want to start with, of course, what you just heard. Russell Westbrook. I mean, he is so fun to watch. And, you know, it's so fun. You guys know I'm a big NBA guy. It's so fun to watch this MVP race that includes numerous names, including OKC's own Russell Westbrook, who is currently right now doing something that we haven't seen done since 1955, and that is average a triple-double. The last man to do that, of course, the Big O. Oscar Robertson, who was so fun to watch back in the day. I, again, that's not my era. Didn't get a chance to watch the Big O growing up. But watching highlight tapes of what he was able to do on the court, I mean, my goodness. I see why his name is constantly mentioned as one of the greatest players to ever play the game. But it's so fun because you see Russell Westbrook throwing up these kinds of numbers. Last night, a career high for the man. In a home loss, the Thunder falling to the Portland Trail Blazers, Russ threw up 58 points. It's remarkable what he's doing, but it's unfortunate because at the same time, when you look at this Thunder team, other than Russell Westbrook, I mean, there really is no other superstar. And how can you expect Russ to go deep in the NBA playoffs with guys like
Enes Kanter and Victor Oladipo, right? Now, no knock on those guys. I'm just saying. You got to have, in today's NBA, at least one other star to really legitimately move on and make some noise come NBA postseason time. And I think that's what makes even this run from Russell Westbrook even more special, seeing as though he's doing it with kind of an average team, right? And he has his team, which, oh, by the way, competes in the stout Western Conference, in seventh place in the West. Still in the playoffs, despite the supporting cast that he has on the squad. Now, again, no knock against that supporting cast for the Thunder. But at the same time, Russell Westbrook, what he's doing with not a great supporting cast is truly remarkable. The Thunder sit at 35-29 on the season. As we, again, just wind down here to NBA playoff time. And again, if you put some of the teams who are currently in the playoffs in the NBA's Eastern Conference and plop those franchises in the West, I mean, a lot of them wouldn't even be sniffing the playoffs. So, you know, it's fun to watch this race that includes not only Westbrook, but James Harden. You know, you see Kawhi Leonard's name of the San Antonio Spurs also entering the conversation. And again, no knock against those guys. And I think also Houston sitting at the three spot with James Harden is pretty impressive considering what Harden has around him, which I think is a better supporting cast than what Russell Westbrook has. And I think that's evident in the 44-20 record. Kawhi Leonard has the luxury of having one of the greatest coaches in NBA history in Greg Popovich, and also NBA legends who are Hall of Famers like Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili still a part of that roster. So if I had a vote, you guys can hear the tone of this conversation. If I had a vote right now on March 8th, 2017, as to who deserves to be the NBA's most valuable player, I find it hard-pressed to make an argument for anybody other than Russell Westbrook. That's where my vote will be going. So that was fun to watch, though. I was glued to my television watching that Damian Lillard and Russell Westbrook matchup last night. And it was just so amazing because in the fourth quarter, when they actually put Russell on the bench to get some rest to start the fourth quarter, what happened? The Thunder just it's like all the air got let out of the balloon, and you could just sense that Portland tasted blood in the water, and it became a 10-11 point lead until Russ comes back in. And then what happens? He scores two fast break buckets, finds two Thunder players, and then boom, it's a 5-point contest. It's amazing. And I think what is even more amazing when evaluating Russell Westbrook is that this dude just does not get tired. And that's what, I mean, have you ever, just listen, those who watch the NBA, have you ever seen Russell Westbrook tired? I've never seen him tugging on his shorts. I've never seen him just, you know, ask to come out the game because he's exhausted. I mean, it's amazing the kind of motor that he has. So that was the best thing I saw since we bid you all adieu 2 p.m. yesterday. Love to start the show with the best thing I saw to start each and every current sports. And I want to transition from there to talk about, briefly, the NFL Combine, which, of course, took place out in Indianapolis, Indiana. And there were three Spartans that partook in those festivities. And one name in particular is getting a lot of traction. Malik McDowell, former defensive player for the Michigan State football team. His name is in the press a lot today because he didn't interview well. And those that have seen Malik on television throughout his MSU career, you guys know he isn't, how can I put this? He isn't the most eloquent when you see him do an interview. He doesn't like doing interviews with the press. He's kind of standoffish. I mean, I covered him when he was here at Michigan State, and he was not the guy you would run to if you needed a soundbite, but a heck of a player nonetheless. And you guys know the story. He announced on December 6th, of last year, 10:56 a.m. to be exact, that he would forego his senior season and head to the NFL. He signed with sports agent Drew Rosenhaus. It was a pretty cool picture of himself along with a few family members and Mr. Rosenhaus signing a contract with Rosenhaus Sports on social media. And you could see it coming. You know, McDowell's decision had been expected for much of the Spartans' 3-9 season last year. The junior hurt his left ankle in the second half at Illinois on November 5th, coupled with rib injuries that he dealt with throughout the season. And he didn't play in the Spartans' final three games. So you can kind of see the writing on the wall. In many regards, many people thought out there that Malik having the injury-riddled year that he did, that would tremendously hurt his chances in the upcoming NFL draft if he did decide to forego his senior season. McDowell would finish with 34 tackles and 1.5 sacks in 9 games this past year, bouncing between defensive tackle and defensive end. And over 36 games at Michigan State, he had 7.5 sacks and 90 tackles, including 24.5 for loss yardage. And when evaluating what the experts predicted when it comes to the draft stock of Mr. McDowell, 4 of CBSSports.com's 6 mock draft analysis listed McDowell in the first round. Dane Brugler and Ryan Wilson actually put him 17th to Washington. Will Brinson, 23rd to New York, the Giants. And Rob Ring, 24th. To the Oakland Raiders. Hey, Brad, that's your squad. And Mel Kiper Jr. also, when looking at his latest mock draft, he does not have McDowell in the first round after previously mentioning him actually as a potential number one overall pick before last season. And quite the contrast conversation to Mel Kiper's mock draft. ESPN colleague Todd McShay thinks the Baltimore Ravens will take McDowell with the number 16 pick. But it's amazing, you know, how the combine works, right? And they put those athletes through so much. You got to go through this rigorous interview process. They measure everything from hand size to feet size. They have you run the 40-yard dash. They measure your vertical leap. It's like putting a rat through a maze, right, to see where all those measurements stack up and where the said potential for these players stack up in relation to everyone else. But according to a report this week from Yahoo, multiple NFL teams felt like McDowell tremendously underperformed during his interview process. The report quotes one team executive calling McDowell, quote, the worst interview we did. Another calling him, quote, an awful interview. And we sort of know the storyline when it comes to Malik McDowell when he was here at Michigan State, right? You know, there were questions about Malik McDowell's work ethic, his consistency, whether or not he was a distraction in the team locker room. We heard all of these rumors swirling around. So granted, of course he was going to be drilled during the NFL Combine interview process. This is what one team member was quoted as saying, quote, I can't figure out what makes this kid tick. He might be the type who maybe falls in the draft and it lights a fire under him, but I don't know. But I need that light on more often. And he didn't like it when we asked him about that, end quote. And anytime, you know, reading reports from the interview session with McDowell, from the media session, I should say, when asked about McDowell's work ethic, McDowell said he didn't believe it was an issue. And he pointed to injuries during the 2016 year as to reasons why he was limited. Quote, we had a long year. I had a lot of stuff going on this past year health-wise, just body stuff, little stuff. I was out there and maybe shouldn't have been playing. It is what it is, end quote. Brad, I want to ask you this. You're a man who follows MSU sports pretty closely. When evaluating Malik McDowell's career here at Michigan State, when hearing about how he pretty much miffed and muffed the interview process out in Indy, where do you think Malik McDowell will go in this upcoming NFL draft? Is he, I guess the key question here is he an NFL draft first round pick?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because, you know, when he first came out of high school and all the things that were happening with mom I don't think she really wanted him to go to MSU. She wanted him to go somewhere else.
Right.
He chose MSU. Not thrilled about that. And then I was expecting. Now I know he got double teamed a lot. You know, and he was a force. Did he meet expectations though here? I'm not sure if he did or not. I'm not sure. Now with the interview process, you know, I mean, I know that brings your stock down a little bit. It moves it down. Maybe he's a second rounder. Maybe he's even a third rounder. He still has talent.
Right.
He does.
And that's the question here. I mean, when you evaluate this, because I've always said that the NFL draft and the combine process, I should say, is a bit overrated. It amazes me how much stock teams and NFL GMs and owners, how much stock they put into the interview and how fast you run your 40, more so than evaluating these kids based on how they performed at their respective colleges on the college gridiron.
I think the GMs probably take the interview process a little more. They look at it a lot more than probably coaches. The coaches probably look on the field to see how fast they're running, how good they are. I think they look at film more probably. I'm guessing that maybe the interview process to the coaches doesn't mean as much.
Exactly. Because when it comes to coaches, what is it all about, right? It's about winning. Talent trumps that, right? When it comes to a GM, they don't want a headache and have to deal with possible legal issues down the road. So we'll see. We'll see. That's the question I want to pose to our listeners out there. Again, you can weigh in via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Do you believe that Malik McDowell is a first round pick? I could see Malik falling, and as you mentioned, Brad, I could see probably Malik McDowell falling to as an early to mid second round pick, because it's still being said that even with the interview process aside and how horrible he was, as that's being reported, his measurements were still great. He put that athleticism on display during the 40-yard dash and during his respective reps. So I could still see a lot of teams out there saying, you know what, we can probably work with this kid and we could make him a more personable player once he enters our team. But his measurements were great. He's being, I guess you can say, publicized as the third best defensive lineman in the entire draft. So we'll see what happens. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before we hit our first break, a brief preview on the Big Ten tourney. Kicking off two games today. Number 12, Nebraska, taking on number 13, Penn State, out in Washington, D.C. And then later on tonight, number 14, Rutgers, battling number 11, Ohio State. Of course, an automatic bid to the NCAA tourney on the line out in Washington, though it looks like teams like Purdue, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Maryland, Michigan, Northwestern, and Michigan State possibly have already bids locked up and are just now jockeying for certain NCAA seeds. But a few things that I want to highlight in this year's 20th Big Ten tourney. I may burst a few bubbles by saying this, but, you know, looking at number 6 Northwestern, I think that they are so intriguing to me because there's a lot of hype around Northwestern booking a ticket to its first ever NCAA dance, right? A lot of hype surrounded around that. I mean, we can go back to, of course, that miracle pass, right, that beat the Michigan Wolverines. A lot of people believe that that was the game that put the Wildcats in the big dance. But get this. I just want to give you a few nuggets to just think about while watching Northwestern this week out in the Big Ten tournament. Northwestern 3-6, just 3-6 in its last 9 games. And get this, one of those wins was in Evanston versus last place Rutgers. And oh yeah, it took a miracle play to beat Michigan in another victory. Now, bottom line, all I'm saying here is maybe this Northwestern Wildcat team is getting just some undeserved hype, if you will. Because 3-6, it took a miracle to beat Michigan, and you beat the Big Ten laughingstock in Rutgers. I don't know how much weight that holds. Now, again, it's going to be fun to watch, to see what the Wildcats can do come tourney time. And Northwestern will take on the winner of number 11 Ohio State and number 14 Rutgers on Thursday. And if the Wildcats do win that, they would meet number 3 Maryland. I'm not trying to burst the purple bubble here of Northwestern Wildcats fans out there, but I'm just saying when you evaluate that the Wildcats are just 3-6 in their last 9 games, I don't know how confident I am in saying that Northwestern is going to make a ton of noise come NCAA tourney time. A team to watch, though, number 8 Michigan, seated way too low in my opinion. The Wolverines, a dangerous team, I really think because of one man, that being Derek Walton Jr. Smart guy, he's a great leader, the only player in school history to have 1,000 points, 500 rebounds, 400 assists. Also, I like the supporting cast for this team as well. Guys like Moritz Wagner, DJ Wilson, Muhammad Ali, Abdur Rahman, and Zach Irvin. And this is what I always said about Michigan. They are a team that loves to shoot. When they are hot from deep, they can beat anybody in the country. We saw them blow out, actually, number 1 Purdue, 82-70, late in the year. But when they are off, they are off. Why, really keep an eye on Michigan. Also, I believe that Illinois and Iowa have a lot on the line. Number 9, Illinois, the Fighting Illini, have missed the last 3 NCAA tourneys under John Gross. Last dancing back in 2013. The school hasn't missed 4 tourneys in a row since, if you remember, that 16-year gap between 1964 and 1980. Illinois, though, has finished strong, winning 4 in a row before losing, and this was a bad loss, I must admit, losing at Rutgers in the season finale. Still, the Illini are a bubble team that's among the last 4 out right now when looking at the last, the latest NCAA field predicted by Jerry Palm of CBSSports.com and also a few other bracket predictions out there. And like Illinois, Iowa, 18-13 overall, 10-8 in the Big Ten. That's another team that will try and play its way into the NCAA tourney. The Hawkeyes finished strong, also winning winning their last 4 games. So those are a few storylines that I'm looking at, Brad. If I had to just put you on the spot right now and evaluate a team like Illinois and a team like Iowa, do you still believe they have some work to do out in Washington if they want to make the big dance?
They got a lot of work to do.
You do believe
that Rutgers loss hurt them a lot. And I'm not going to say anything. Northwestern, I give them their due. They played Purdue pretty good. Now, I know they were at home, but they played them pretty well.
Right.
And so watch out for Northwestern a little bit. They might get a win or two.
You think so? I just look at that, Brad. 3-6 in the last 9 games. Mm-hmm. I look at 2 of those wins. It took a miracle against Michigan, right?
Great pass.
And then they beat.
What a great pass.
It was a great pass. A great play. I don't know what Boeheim, Beeline, excuse me, was thinking of having Derek Walton Jr. defend that play. But also, you look at how the other win in that 3-6 end of the year run for them, the other win, took place against Rutgers, a team that is the laughing stock of the conference. So I think you just kind of have to take it with a grain of salt. I will be very intrigued, though, when it comes to Northwestern to see how far they can get once they do get in the big dance. But I am looking at the team with kind of a side eye. I'm not buying them just yet, Brad.
I'll be interested to see where they're going to be at, what seed they will get. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, it certainly will. All right, well, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite to our airwaves Aaron McMahon, Detroit Pistons beat reporter for MLive.com. Aaron will give us a preview of tonight's nationally televised game as the Pistons take on the Indiana Pacers. That and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Let's bring on our first of two guests here throughout this hour. The Detroit Pistons, 10-5. Get this, 10-5. Since February 1st, moved into seventh place in the Eastern Conference playoff chase as they hold the tiebreaker by winning two of three games against the Chicago Bulls. Now, the fourth game comes March 22nd at the Shy, and they are just one game behind the sixth place Indiana Pacers. The Pistons are in Indiana tonight, national television on ESPN, and right now we have to preview that matchup and to chat all things Pistons. Aaron McMahon, Detroit Pistons beat reporter for MLive.com. Aaron, thanks so much for your time this afternoon. How you doing?
I'm good. Good to be with you. It's good to be on the program.
Now, Aaron, I want to start by addressing the Reggie Jackson discussion. Now, Reggie, when you look at that game against Chicago, he scores 24 of a team-high 26 points in the second half in that win over the Bulls. 10 of 10 from the floor in the second half, had 21 in a blowout win over the Philadelphia 76ers. What has led to the perceived reemergence of Jackson's game?
Yeah, I think it's been a couple things. You know, first of all, obviously the trade deadline's over with, and that was a big concern, I think, of his and, you know, some of his teammates going in. You know, there's a lot of rumors swirling around him and whether or not he would be with his team after the deadline. Obviously, it came and passed. The Pistons opted to stand pat. And I think in some ways it was kind of a vote of confidence in him from Coach Dan Van Gundy and the team. You know, rumors were out there about him and several other players, but they opted not to do anything. They opted to stand pat. And I think for Jackson, that was to him, I think it was a sign of that they're in with him. You know, he struggled a little bit this season. He obviously missed the first 20 games. It's 21 games with injury. Hasn't been the same guy as last season. But at the same time, I think he realized the Pistons want him here and they're riding with him. Secondly, you know, Van Gundy, you know, the last two games now, he's gone with a different rotation or lineup combination. You know, they started obviously with Jackson for 6 minutes of every quarter, gone to Ishmael the final 6 minutes, and they've kind of waited to let play out the fourth quarter. You know, if Jackson's playing well, they're going to stick with him. If not, they're going with Ish. So it's resulted in shorter bursts for Jackson on the court. He isn't playing. And before he was playing, you know, he'd play around 8-9 minutes of every quarter. Now it's around 6-7. So he's playing shorter time, which I think has helped him a little bit, knowing, A, you know, he's only going to play these X number of minutes, so it's on him to perform. And B, you know, I think the shorter bursts have helped him. His knee isn't 100%. His speed isn't where it was a season ago. So the short he's on the court, I think the better for him right now. So it's been a combination, I think, of those couple things.
You know, Aaron, I read that Reggie, of course, heard the talks about Ishmael being the guy, and especially when Reggie, you know, coming back from that injury, was just trying to find himself back in the lineup and just trying to find some sort of rhythm. For Reggie, you know, I know it's been reported that he has tried to block it all out and just focus on his respective game, but what sort of vibe do you get from him when it comes to all of the Ishmael talk? Has he addressed that at all?
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting because Reggie's always been, at least, you know, the 2.5 years he's been here in Detroit, he's always been a pretty open and communicate. He there's no problem communicating with the media. You know, we'll talk to him after a game or after practice, whatever the case may be. And he's usually elongated with his answers. He goes into detail. He's in some instances long-winded. But there was that 2 or 3 week span, again, around the trade deadline and then prior to last week, I'd say, where he was short. You know, he wasn't answering the questions. He wasn't saying a whole lot. Mm-hmm. You could tell things were getting to him, whether it was the Ishmael stuff, the trade deadline talk. But with regards to Ish, you know, from all my accounts, and I've spoken to Ish, and I've spoken to Reggie, they get along really well. I think they want to see each other do well. To Reggie's credit, you know, when he's been on the bench down the stretch in games, he's been up in office chair cheering on his teammates, invisibly, you know, supportive. So I think to that degree, he respects the job Ish has done. I think he appreciates the job Ish has done. But at the same time, you know, Ish, and I talked to Ish this last week before the New Orleans game, I think it was, and he said, you know, he had Reggie's back. He realizes and he acknowledges, you know, for this Pistons team to turn it around and get in the playoffs and make the run like they want to, Reggie's got to play well. He's got to get going. So I think there's a mutual respect for one another there. I don't see as much of a competition as maybe some folks might see it as. But you know, and Sam McGinnis reiterated the same thing. For them to succeed, they need both point guards playing well.
Aaron, as you mentioned, we heard the trade rumors that included names like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Jackson, as well as even Andre Drummond possibly being on the trade block before the deadline expired. Why didn't the Pistons make a move? And in your eyes, was it the right decision to stand pat?
Yeah, I don't think they made a move because they didn't, in a way, they didn't get in return what they were looking for. You could say that, you know, that the Pistons were looking to blow it up and looking to trade all these guys, but at the same time, that they've established value in every one of their major players, whether it's Reggie Jackson, Andre Drummond, you know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's name came up there, Aaron Baines, you know, who's likely going to opt out of his contract season. The Pistons have placed a value on all those guys and what they see each player's worth. And apparently, and I'm not obviously behind closed doors in the trade negotiations, but you know, other teams who are possibly looking at Reggie or looking at trying to get maybe an Andre Drummond, maybe as Caldwell-Pope, they didn't see the value the Pistons did. Now you could say maybe the Pistons overvalued their guys, and that could be completely accurate. But I think what Van Gundy and General Manager Jeff Fowler were looking at was, you know, if we're going to drastically change things, you got to remember, you know, Reggie Jackson's in the second year of a 5-year, $80 million deal. Andre Drummond just signed his max deal last summer. So these guys are younger. They're early in their contracts. For the Pistons to blow it up or to trade one or maybe two of those pieces, in essence, would be admitting, you know, that they're blowing things up. And I don't think if they're going to do that, I think they wanted something, you know, big in return. They didn't get that, and that's one of the reasons they opted to stand pat. In regards to your second question, I think, you know, I wasn't too surprised with what happened. They had it, and I've said this from the get-go, they're a better and deeper team than they were last season. But again, you had Reggie's injury the first 21 games. You had Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, you had John Lewis sit out. You've had rotation issues. You had that mid-season meeting where, you know, the players were upset at Reggie and the offense wasn't working. You had so many things going on. The team hasn't really been able to play as one for a lengthy period of time, and I think that's what Van Gundy's waiting to see. You know, is this the team that he expects them to be? You're starting to see signs of that right now. They're starting to turn the corner, I think. They've got 19 games left. They're in position right now to get in the playoffs. I think they wanted to ride this out to see if they had.
Yeah, and I want to ask, Aaron, of course, with just 19 games left in the year and the Pistons playing the Pacers tonight, just one game behind the sixth-place Pacers as the Pistons sit in that seventh seed, what do you think is the seeding ceiling, if you will, for this team to finish out the NBA year? How high do you think the Pistons could finish when things are said and done and we talk about the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, they're starting to turn a corner, but they've got some scheduling challenges coming up. They've got five more back-to-backs at the end of the year, including tonight, and then they turn around and return home tomorrow to play the Cavaliers, who are off for 2 days. So they've got some scheduling challenges there. At the same time, the East, especially that middle portion of where the Pistons are at right now, from, you know, 6 to 12. None of those teams have really made a much of a run. Besides, you can make a case for Miami. So, in the grand scheme of things, I think the Pistons are safe to get in the playoffs at this point. I'm expecting anywhere from maybe the 60s to, you know, they could possibly finish eighth. There could be a possibility of reaching fifth. I think that would be the ceiling at this point. But at this point, I'm pretty confident this team gets there. You know, I've been saying most of the season that they would, but with a feeling that they would eventually turn around. You know, like I said, I think this team is at the core better than they were last year. At the same time, the Eastern Conference hasn't, remained mediocre, especially that bottom half of the league. The Pistons have too much talent, I think, and the coaching staff is a good one. I think they got too much going for them to not make the playoffs. So I think they get in. Right now, I'm leaning towards probably where they're at right now, 6 or 7, but they get in.
Aaron McMahon, Detroit Pistons beat reporter for MLive.com. Again, the Pistons and Pacers tonight on ESPN. Just provide a bit of a preview for us, Aaron, tonight. What are you going to be watching tonight when it comes to this matchup, and who do you think has the advantage with the Pistons trending upward? Two straight wins for them.
Yeah, you know, they've struggled against Indiana the last few years. They've lost 8 of the last 9. four in a row at Indiana. So definitely history is going against the Pistons. Paul George has played so well against them this year. He's averaging north of 23 points a game. You know, he's going to be, I think, you know, he's obviously the obvious person to watch here. You know, the Pistons can hold him around 20. They can limit CJ, or they can limit Miles Turner, CJ Miles. Then they'll have a shot. That being said, you know, I look for their energy early on, see how they come out of the gate. They've struggled out of the gate in the last few weeks, really, and that's really bothered Van Gundy. They come out with energy and play competitive here in the first quarter and a half. I think they'll keep it close. That being said, you know, I'd be surprised if they came out with a win tonight. I really would. They've struggled with national television as well. That's been an ongoing issue. You know, I look for them to be competitive. They can remain competitive. I think they're okay. At the same time, I pick the Pacers to win tonight.
Aaron McMahon, Detroit Pistons beat reporter for MLive.com. You can read his work at MLive.com and follow him on Twitter at Aaron McMahon. Aaron, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Al. Thanks for having me.
Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will chat with current sports intern and MSU baseball bullpen catcher David Greenberg, who's out in South Carolina right now as the Spartans get ready to take on number 9 Clemson at 7 p.m. That and more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Much thanks to Aaron McMahon for joining me on the show during that B segment. Aaron is a beat reporter for the Detroit Pistons with MLive.com. Great discussion there. The Pistons, a team that is certainly, and I don't want to go too crazy here because we've seen the Pistons, you know, have a 2-game win streak before, okay? But it's just the way the Pistons are playing right now that seems to be encouraging. In particular, the way that Reggie Jackson, after going through the slump that he has gone through since trying to battle back from that injury, with all of the Ish Smith talk, Ish should be starting, trade Reggie Jackson, and I'm not going to sit here and be phony with you all. I was one of those that were calling for a Reggie Jackson trade because I still think the dude just shoots way too much. The buck stops with him at some time, you know, far too often on offensive possessions, and he tries just to force it way too much. The offense runs way more fluid when Ish Smith is in the game, and Ish is finding that coveted balance between getting his teammates involved and picking and choosing when to look for his shot and score. Reggie sometimes clogs up things. I'm still sticking with my guns, and I do think that the Pistons will eventually trade Reggie Jackson. I just think that, just like Aaron mentioned, the Pistons did not see a sexy deal out there that would in turn bring them immediate results. I thought it was going to be Ricky Rubio, you know, with the Jackson and Rubio discussions that we saw in the rumor mill. I really thought that was going to be the moment, but they couldn't get it done. So we'll see what happens tonight, though. Pistons going for 3 straight out at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, Indiana. Pistons and Pacers on national TV, ESPN tonight. Should be a fun one. All right. Real briefly here before we close out the show, I want to invite right now David Greenberg, current sports intern and Michigan State baseball bullpen catcher, as he is right now out in South Carolina with Jake Boss and the team, as the MSU baseball team is 9-1 currently to start the season for the second straight year. They will try to improve that record tonight against number 9 Clemson. To preview that matchup and more, we have David Greenberg on the line. David, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, Al. Thanks for having me.
Good chatting with you. First off, how's the weather out there? I have to ask, with you being on spring break down in South Carolina.
It's nice and beautiful out here. It beats the nice and cold Michigan.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's about 40 degrees. The sun is still out, but I must say I am a bit jealous. And, you know, I'm curious to ask you this, David. With you being around the team out there, getting ready for tonight's matchup against Clemson, you know, I have to ask, with spring break taking place this week, you know, I'm looking on social media and I see a lot of our PAs enjoying their time out in Miami and at Panama City down in Florida with no care in the world. I'm curious to know whether or not the team collectively likes and enjoys spending spring break playing baseball. What is the overall mood having to play baseball on spring break out there, David?
You love it. There's nothing better than playing baseball in warm weather, especially when it's this early in March. I mean, we've been doing this since we were little kids, you know, back in high school. I mean, I know my high school team, we took a trip to Florida a couple of times, and that was always a blast. And so, you know, we've been doing it forever, and you know, it would be fun to go to other places, but there's nothing better than playing baseball in warm weather.
Yeah, this is like your guys' vacation, right? Playing baseball
exactly.
On spring break.
Exactly.
Gotta love it, David. All right, 9-1. You heard my spiel to intro you. 9-1 to start the season for the second straight year. You will try to improve on that record tonight against number 9 Clemson, a very tough team. What do you attribute to the hot start right now for the team, David?
I think our bats are playing really well right now. Offensively, we're hitting the ball well, we're seeing it well, and you know, our pitching from the bullpen has been just outstanding. You know, there's been a couple of games when it was close, and our bullpen just kind of came in and shut the door on any type of threat that was out there.
I have to ask tonight, I believe the matchup that I'm reading here online is accurate. Tyler Jackson versus Joe Mockbee, is that the matchup tonight, pitching matchup?
I have not been told anything. I know Joe Mockbee is typically a reliever, so maybe coach has decided to start him, but I do not want to be
confirm
certain about anything and give the wrong information.
Certainly. Well, just overall, talking about Clemson, again, number 9, what makes them such a tough team?
Oh, they're one of the top teams in the country, no doubt. I mean, they do everything well offensively, defensively. One of their best players is probably going to be, he's going to be a superstar someday, Seth Beer, who, you know, just, he won one of the top college baseball awards last year. He can hit, he can play the outfield very well. He's just going to be, he's a very dynamic player. And so that'd be one person I would say watch out for on as far as the Clemson team goes.
The Spartans went 3-0 in a tourney in Greenville last weekend, hitting .340. And have a 3.54 ERA and 9.57 fielding percentage. Is this hot start shocking at all for Jake Boss, David, or did he see this coming? Where's the confidence level for this team?
Oh, I think we definitely all saw it coming. I mean, from day one, coaches told us we have enough talent on this team to compete with any team in the country. And you know, I believe it, and I'm sure all the players do too. So yeah, I don't think that this 9-1 start would come to a surprise with anyone on the team.
Can you give us a bit of a preview for the rest of the break, the rest of the week for you all, David, after tonight's matchup, what happens?
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, after tonight's matchup against Clemson, we head down to Columbia tomorrow morning. We practice tomorrow, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we've got a three-game series at South Carolina in their brand-new stadium. All four of the games, we've been told, are sellout crowds. So it'll be really awesome to play in front of some you know, big opposing crowd stadiums. So that'll be definitely cool. And then, you know, South Carolina, also one of the top teams in the country. They're in the top 20, and their pitching is just unbelievable. And, you know, they've got it all. So I would definitely say it's going to be interesting matchups as the rest of these four games go.
And I can assume, David, that the chemistry is constantly evolving day after day after day. I mean, when you spend the break playing baseball, practicing, I mean, the chemistry has to be coming along quite well for this squad as well, right? And that has a direct correlation to the win and loss column, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
All right, David Greenberg, keep us updated, my man. We'll be checking in throughout the week. Again, Michigan State taking on number 9 Clemson tonight at 7 p.m. Thanks so much for your time, David.
Thanks for having me.
All right, folks. Well, we have about, 3 minutes left in the show today. And I just want to touch on a story that I'm actually going to be leading tomorrow's show with because I find it intriguing on so many levels. But it's a story I brought to you all during our current sports quick hit headliners. But according to the NFL Network, the Detroit Lions were one of four teams to meet privately with Oklahoma running back Joe Mixon on the eve of his pro day workout. Now, what makes Mixon's story so intriguing for those that have been following this story, Mixon is considered one of the most talented running backs in the game. One of the most talented running backs in college football last year. But he has had some troubles away from the gridiron. You guys know a video that went viral where he was caught punching an Oklahoma female student in the face. And it tremendously affected the perception that many people had of Joe Mixon. It had a direct effect to his draft stock. And there are many NFL personnel that shied away from possibly taking Mixon come this year's draft because of that incident. And heck, I even remember when Brent Musburger went on the air. You remember that, Brad? Brent Musburger went on the air, announcer. Now, I should say former announcer. He has since retired. But Brent Musburger went on the air and he made a comment like, you know, hey, he may have had troubles in the past, but I am rooting for this young man. Just to give you kind of, you know, a finger on the pulse of how people view Mixon, even that comment stirred up a lot of controversy. And all of a sudden, Twitter blew up, chastising Brent Musburger for his comments on the air in favor of Joe Mixon to have a sort of comeback story. So it's a very sensitive topic when evaluating the overall perception of Joe Mixon and whether or not NFL teams should pull the trigger on drafting him, hoping that he will turn a new leaf. Lions GM Bob Quinn has not held back in letting it be known that, hey, we are interested in this young man. Should the Lions draft Joe Mixon? We'll dive into that conversation and so much more on this week's Thursday edition of Current Sports. Until then, as always, take care and be easy, people.